Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Rolling along here for hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. My man Clay and I are locked in, dialed in, bringing you all the latest today. Everything you need to know about, everything we need to be talking about here. Please, if you have not, go check out clayandbuck.com. We got stories there. We've got updates from the show, sound bites, clips. Remember to be an EIB subscriber. We do some behind-the-scenes content available only for EIB 24/7 subscribers. Check that out at clayandbuck.com as well. And please do subscribe to the podcast. If you missed any part of the show, you can always listen on demand to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast, which is doing quite well thanks to all of you. We're going to get into a little bit more of the Blinken testimony just because we can't allow it to go completely without response. The Democrats are not trying to pretend that what Biden did was somehow a good thing and well executed. That's the big hole in this. Well executed withdrawal from Afghanistan, which is simply absurd. And Tony Blinken is really the classic lib version of a diplomat. I mean, a guy who you just feel like he's feckless, ineffectual, but has a fancy resume. And so we're all supposed to bow before him and listen to his genius, even though there's nothing impressive about this guy whatsoever. But before we get back into all that, and also some more thoughts on the COVID situation as it is playing out across the country right now. Oh, and the California recall, which Clay's fired up. He's fired up because he feels like there's some data that we'll be able to pull apart here that'll show broader trend. We'll see, right? But there could be data that shows broader trends of California as a place that is a harbinger of things to come for the Democrat Party in the midterms. Maybe. We'll get into that. But Clay, first off, in the Washington Post right now, today, their big story, top general was so fearful Trump might spark war that he made secret calls to his Chinese counterpart. This is in the book Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. It says that General Mark Milley, we all know him, right? Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is the guy that gave up Bagram, the guy who said reading white fragility in the military is, you know, a good idea. We have a diverse reading list or something like that, he said. He said that he called his Chinese counterpart before the election and after January 6 to avert a war with China. All right, let me just a little of the detail here, Clay, and then we got this is pretty big stuff because it goes to a lot of other things we saw playing out both under the Trump administration at the end and now still the Biden administration. Twice in the final months of the Trump administration, the country's top military officer was so fearful the president's actions might spark a war with China that he moved to urgently avert conflict in a pair of secret phone calls. General Mark Milley, the chairman of the JCS, assured his Chinese counterpart of the People's Liberation Army that the United States would not strike. One call took place on October 30th, 2020, 4 days before the election that unseated President Trump. The other on January 8th, 2021, 2 days after the Capitol siege carried out by his supporters. Milley went so far as to pledge he would alert his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack, stressing the rapport they'd established through a back channel. General Lee, you and I have known each other for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Clay, that is not a call the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States should be making.
Isn't that treason? I mean, when you really think about it, if we have a democratically elected president who is the commander in chief and is entrusted with, this is why we have a civilian who is in charge of the military and makes choices like that. Wouldn't it be a form? I'm just asking. I'm not an expert on, you're better plugged into the command structure and the organization of the United States bureaucracy beneath the commander in chief than I would. But strictly from the perspective of top-down management, if I am the commander-in-chief and I believe that there is something that China is doing that our country needs to respond to, wouldn't it be a form of treason for one of the top military officers in our country to notify a foreign adversary before we were taking action against them in direct contravention of the orders of the President of the United States?
I mean, Clay, this is outrageous. I mean,
isn't that a form? I mean, I'm just saying, if you are consulting with the foreign adversary and thereby creating obstacles to what the President of the United States is ordering, then that to me seems like a form of espionage or treason,
right?
That would be punishable under American law.
Treason would be giving aid and comfort to the enemy under a technical federal statutory definition, right? So you'd have to argue that China was an enemy combatant in this. I mean, if we're really going to break this down, I think that that's probably where that analysis would go. It certainly feels treasonous. It certainly feels like a betrayal of the trust put in that person. And I think you could certainly argue that it really amounts to a preparation for a mutiny of sorts against the commander in chief, whereby this individual, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was willing to cut out the actual commander in chief of our country of the decision making process and to give advance warning to the Chinese.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this is like, I don't understand how this guy, if this story is true, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, I don't understand how you can justify him being in office in any way.
I could tell you what the Democrats, if Donald Trump had done this, and he never did anything even remotely like this, although they use the word treason and traitor for Trump all the time over the Russia lies. If this were a Donald Trump involved story, it would be the president committed conspiracy to commit treason. That's what they would say. That these were the steps. These were the affirmative acts of a treasonous plot. But because, of course, it was against Trump, they're going to say, oh, you know, he was just defending the Republic and all the rest of it. But Clay, there were very real implications. And this is something that I think everyone does need to keep in mind. We need to remind each other of this. There were very real implications from the Democrat-aligned corporate media pretending for 4 years that Donald Trump was not of sound mind, that Donald Trump could start a war with some foreign country. I mean, not even just, you know, North Korea or China, you know, Canada. I mean, that Donald Trump was some reckless loose cannon. That narrative, people in positions of authority in the government read the bullcrap in the New York Times and the Washington Post every day. Their thinking is influenced by it. And so the lies that the media apparatus is willing to tell to take Trump down, in this case, I think played out with unbelievable consequences.
Well, let's just think about this for a minute. I mean, and again, I'm this news has just come out, right? So we're breaking it down in real time. He had to, Milley or someone that he was close to, had to be Bob Woodward's source here. So he is bragging to Bob Woodward about not being willing to follow the direction of his direct superior, the democratically elected president of the United States, which is how military coups end up occurring in other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The coup plotters and executors always say they're doing it for the benefit of the country.
Right. That's
they
what
always
I'm saying.
Think they're the heroes. That's the whole point.
That is why we specifically put a democratically elected official above the military, because there's always been the threat. Read a history book for once of a highly leveraged political general deciding to use his military to execute a coup and take over a country. It still happens all the time today, but it has been the number one way, I would say, and you'd probably agree as someone who studied history, the number one way that governments lose their power is typically the military refuses to accede to the directives of the political figure.
Oh, yeah. Well, most coups actually come from the internal circle of the most powerful the actual regime. I've read academic studies on this. I mean, this has been looked at over time. And Clay, with General Milley here saying this, you're right. He's playing to the Trump derangement syndrome Democrat Party, or rather by doing this, he thought he'd be a hero in their eyes if this ever came to light. But let's think about what he's really talking about here. He believed that Trump was just going to start a war with China for no reason. This guy is in charge of the United States military at a very senior level. And he really thought that this is deranged. I mean, this is absurd. It's deeply. And by the way, he still has the job.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Buck. This, and he not only is this story out there, but it's like he's bragging about what he did intentionally to Woodward and or whoever he told this story to, whether it was Bob Woodward directly or whether it was someone else in his circle who he told to talk to Bob Woodward. In other words, I don't think a story like this, Buck, gets out accidentally. He had to acquiesce to it being told. So it was either him or somebody in his circle of power that was telling this story. And again, I just come back to, like, strip aside who the president is. Strip aside who the country that we are in conflict with in some way is. If you heard that a top general had been having back-channel conversations in order to circumvent the leadership of the democratically elected president of the United States, that is flagrantly unconstitutional behavior as a military official on his part. And remember, we got Donald Trump impeached because of a public phone call that he had with the president of Ukraine that people said was inappropriate. We're talking about a general, someone who is not elected to a position, having a secret phone call with the country that I think it's fair to say multiple secret phone calls and conversations with the country that I think almost every single person out there listening to us right now would argue is the biggest enemy of the United States in the world.
It's China. The only real challenge to the United States, Clay. And this also comes from, first of all, the Democrats who read this story. The Washington Post publishes this. It's obviously in the Woodward book, so it's not their scoop, but it's they're giving a lot of, I mean, there's a very close relationship with Woodward for obvious reasons in the Post, and they're giving a big megaphone to this. Democrats think this is great. I mean, remember, Democrats got enthusiastic, excited about using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump. They loved that story. That was something that would get them excited right away.
They
do not care about the Constitution, the chain of command, our institutions of government. It's all a game to them in order to get what they want and have their people in power. Because you cannot look at this and come away thinking anything other than this is reckless. It undermines the commander in chief. I mean, war with China? We're not talking about some peace negotiation with some country we could give a crap about at the end of the day. This is China.
It feels like espionage to me. It feels like treason. It feels like actual collusion with China as opposed to the bullcrap version of Russia collusion that we had. And it totally undermines the entire purpose of having a civilian in charge of our armed forces.
We'll come back into more of this, plus the Blinken testimony going on at Capitol Hill, the Secretary of State. How was the Afghanistan thing such a debacle? Oh, I don't know. I went to Harvard. I'm fancy. I mean, that's, you know.
How's this guy still in position of power at all?
Well, what I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you're talking about Blinken or Milley. It works for both. I would argue that Milley's job security as chairman of the JCS under Biden is strengthened by this story. I think he's a true anti-Trump believer now, and so he's even less likely to get pushed out. That's what I would say. That's what I would argue, at least. We'll come back to this in a second. Carnivore Trading is a group of elite Wall Street traders that have determined to share their trades with you in real time. They do it with text messages that keep you informed of their moves and why they are making them. I was introduced to Carnivore Trading this past spring. I started following their information flow on their trades, and to say I'm impressed is an understatement. Morgan's a subscriber to Carnivore Trading. Her email says, I own a business and have zero time to study stock trading charts. He's right. I mean, who has that kind of time? Also wrote in, today I sold the stock you highlighted at Carnivore for a 486% profit. That's a quote. Try Carnivore Trading for 2 weeks for free. See and mirror their trades, or just watch and see how much you would have made. Online, visit GetOurTrades.com and use the promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Blockbuster news in many ways, I think, associated with this claim that General Milley was having behind-the-scenes conversations with his Chinese counterparts, essentially letting them know either I'm not going to execute the orders that are given to me by the democratically elected president of the United States, Donald Trump, or I'm going to give you a heads up before we take military action. And Buck and I are having the discussion in the last segment, again, as this news is breaking, and my immediate read on it is this is treason. This is espionage. And so I want to take it out of the current Donald Trump dynamics, and let's just go to history, okay? Let's pretend that we had a really good relationship with Japan in early December or late November of 1941. And we got a secret phone call from a Japanese military member. And he said, Hirohito has lost his mind over here in Japan. He's enthralled with the Axis powers. He and Hitler are having secret communications. And I want to let you know something. I think he's about to launch an unprovoked attack against you in the United States. And it's going to happen, I believe, at Pearl Harbor, your Pacific military base. Well, we would like to have that information. And certainly it would be helpful to us. Would that be treason in your mind on behalf of the Japanese general who was giving that information to his American counterpart in advance and in direct opposition to the military planning of Japan? I think almost all of you out there listening right now would say, man, that guy in Japan would be committing treason against his country and would certainly be guilty of espionage. I'm using a historical analogy outside of the United States because I think a lot of times Donald Trump himself is so freighted, Buck, with emotional responses that it's hard for people to think rationally. But when I hear that report from Bob Woodward, I immediately think this is treason, this is espionage, and not only that, Milley is bragging about it. Bragging about it, Buck. 1-800-282-2882. I would like to hear from military out there that might have an opinion about this in terms of chain of command and more. But in the meantime, I want to tell you, nearly a third of Americans suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging, exercise, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living. Relief Factor can help you combat that pain. Doctors created it, over 15 years of research. Buck's mom and dad are using it. My wife is using it. Buck's dad's golf game has improved. My wife has got a lot better relief. You can join more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95 today. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, we want you to feel the difference by calling 800-4-RELIEF. Join hundreds of thousands, $19.95 3-week, 800-4-RELIEF.
President Biden took office in January. He inherited an agreement that his predecessor had reached with the Taliban to remove all remaining forces from Afghanistan by May 1st of this year. In return, the Taliban agreed to stop attacking U.S. and partner forces and to refrain from threatening Afghanistan's major cities. But the Taliban continued a relentless march on remote outposts, on checkpoints, on villages, districts, as well as the major roads connecting them. By January 2021, the Taliban was in the strongest military position it had been in since 9/11. As a result, upon taking office, President Biden immediately faced the choice between ending the war or escalating.
Okay, so it was Trump's fault, you see? That's always so convenient, isn't it? Anything goes wrong, it's Trump's fault. In Afghanistan, at the border for a while, they were trying that one. Whatever it may be, they'll trot out that it's Trump's fault, or they'll use Trump. And welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck. Clay and I are just rolling through today. We got so much to talk to you about, as always. And they use Trump as the ultimate distraction. There's always an opportunity. There's always a means for them to say, oh, but the insurrection, or oh, but Russia collusion, or whatever it may be. What they don't want is for the American people to focus in and pass their judgment on the stupidity, the arrogance, and just the disaster that is defining the Biden presidency so far. You see this with the way they're handling COVID. You see this with the way they handle the economy, with the lawlessness at our southern border, our de facto open border, the continued violence in major cities. I didn't even talk today about what's going on in Minneapolis post the George Floyd incident. We will talk about it. We should talk about it because it's just gotten worse for everybody. Less law enforcement, more crime, more misery. That's Democrats think that that somehow is progress. You know, we should suffer as a country. Our cities should suffer. But people that are working class, of course, and disproportionately minorities who are working class suffer in our cities as a result of the demonization of police. You see, they're never somehow responsible for the bad things that happen. The Democrat apparatus of control, the apparatchiks who run around on TV telling you this is the way it has to be. If you disagree, you're racist. If you disagree, you're a warmonger or whatever the case may be. You don't care about old people dying from COVID. So many things they throw out there. It's all rhetoric. And now we have the General Milley episode after we had been for 4 years told constantly, Clay, that Trump was a threat to our government institutions. That was the line. It was always Trump is undermining our institutions, which is very vague. What does that even mean? And why were there never any specifics? Saying mean things to CNN journalists is not undermining our government, but they acted like it was. And now we see, once again, they tried the quasi-legal coup of the Mueller probe. They tried the quasi-legal coup of the 25th Amendment, pretending Trump was crazy when really they just disagreed with him. And fortunately, they couldn't pull that one off. And now we find yet another instance. And we're going to get all these lectures on January 6th, the worst thing ever, so scary, almost overthrew the government. The most powerful military officer in uniform in the country having conversations with our greatest adversary about how secret. He will go against the will of the commander in chief.
The talk was that Trump was going to use the military to overthrow democracy in the United States. The reality, based on this Bob Woodward reporting, is that the military was going to overthrow Donald Trump if they needed to, and they weren't going to accede to their constitutional obligations to allow the commander-in-chief to make decisions with the military. And again, this goes to the essence of what our framers believed based on looking at history. And by the way, it was a present and reality history that they were living in. Napoleon, not much time after our own revolution, like many military generals before, had used the military to stage a coup in France. This was the fear for a long time in America, that at some point a powerful ruler who had military background would use the military to overthrow existing civilian government. The reason why our commander-in-chief is a civilian, even though he may have had military experience, is expressly to make it clear that the military serves at the behest and the request and the command of the commander-in-chief. And what General Milley is bragging about in this Woodward book is directly contravening, potentially, the orders that are given to him by his superior, which is the exact opposite. Look, we had all these Democrats excited that the only person to lose their job over the Afghanistan debacle was the lieutenant colonel who came out and said, this is a debacle. Our military leaders failed us. He lost his job because he spoke outside the chain of command in a public fashion in his uniform.
And look at what they were willing to take action against. And I mean real action. When Trump was president, they had the whole Russia collusion, which was a fabrication. It was a lie. That was a conspiracy theory made real as a weapon in politics by the media, the intelligence apparatus, which unfortunately I know too well, having come from that world, and the Democrat Party all working together, the Hillary paid for dossier, Russiagate, all of it together. And then it was, we need to impeach Trump because of conversations he had in the framework of dealing with the big
public
lie
conversations.
Of Russia.
Real, like, public, Buck. This is like they had transcripts of these. This is not like a hidden conversation like Milley's was.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the 10 instances of possible corruption that they put in the Mueller report, first and foremost, where nothing actually happened.
Right.
But it was just responses or people testifying that there was some kind of a conversation that may have involved interfering with a government process, essentially interfering the investigation of Donald Trump himself, right? That he was intervening in a way that was improper. He didn't actually intervene, didn't actually fire Mueller, didn't do any of these things. They impeached him, Clay, for that. And then to your point, they impeached him again, like the sociopaths that run the Democrat Party are, for a conversation about Hunter Biden corruption in Ukraine. That obviously was corruption. He was getting special treatment because his daddy was VP, and yet they went after him for
that. And it
was
not even a secret call, the Ukraine call.
They're going to look at this story with Millie now and say, not only, Clay, is it not treason, which is what you've been saying, and I think you can certainly, I would say conspiracy to commit treason might be what you could get away with in a court on this. They're going to say he's a patriot. He's a hero for stepping out in this way. That's the same way that Afghanistan's a huge success, Clay. Don't you see the pattern?
Yeah, and this is where some people get mad, but I look at this from a legal perspective, and I want to apply the same precedents so that whatever rule we apply now makes sense in the years ahead. And we're going to take a couple of your calls here in a sec, but just think about this for a minute. Whether or not you like Joe Biden, if Joe Biden decided to undertake a military action, and the head of his military said, no, I refuse to do that, and I'm going to call our enemy, and I'm going to tell them what we are potentially going to do so it doesn't work. Like, that's not right.
The only case where that could be okay would be if it was in response to a clearly unlawful order under UCMJ. That's it. But there was no order here. This was a make-believe back channel. Oh, I'll get you the information ahead of time because crazy orange man bad might start a war with you guys. That's not there's no legal order to, that's just defying the will of the commander in chief in advance. That's just saying that I'm going
to. It's espionage to me, and it's treason at the most. Espionage and minimal. And to your point, you can always get somebody for a conspiracy. That's what we always said in criminal law back in the day.
We'll come back because we got a bunch of veterans because I want to hear from you. How can you not get court-martialed for this if this is true? I wonder, by the way, if Milley, what he's going to say about this. He hasn't been asked yet. I'm wondering if he's going to say, oh, I can't speak about it, or oh, that's not true. We'll see. You know, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation helps America to never forget 9/11. And this year, the foundation is giving 200 mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and their families. Last year, Tunnel to Towers started a new tradition to honor the lives lost on 9/11 at the Pentagon and in Shanksville memorials, and they're lighting up the night sky with Towers of Light tributes again. If you've never participated in the Tunnel to Towers 5K run and walk in New York City, it's one of the most emotional days. Clay, it starts in Brooklyn. It's incredible. Tens of thousands of people retrace Stephen Siller's selfless final footsteps on 9/11.
It's the foundation's signature event. West Point cadets run together. Families walk to pay tribute to the loved ones they lost. Breathtaking sight when you see firefighters all over the country running in their gear. This year's event, Sunday, September 26th, features Lynyrd Skynyrd at the annual Run Weekend concert for registrants. Never forget, donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We will be talking with you a great deal about the California recall vote, which is going on today. I'm sure that it will lead our results tomorrow. Encourage all of you listening to us in California to vote against, obviously, the awful leadership of Gavin Newsom. We will see what the impact is. If you look at odds markets overseas, it appears that Gavin Newsom is going to survive the recall. They've spent almost $100 million trying to avoid him being recalled, but we will see what happens there. We have been talking about the, I would say, blockbuster revelation that General Milley may have been calling China to let them know in advance that he would not be executing the orders of Donald Trump in the event that Trump decided that he needed to do something of a military nature against China. And we asked if you would call in if you are a military veteran, as we have talked about espionage, treason, and related conspiracy charges that might be afoot here based on this report, and what your reaction is as a military veteran. Mike in Kentucky is up first. Mike, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I was in the Multinational Force Observers attached. I was an infantry scout from 19 Delta, a tanker scout. A lot of people call us that. But if I would have even mentioned my training on a Tow and Dragon missile, or that I could make a Claymore mine out of, on my own with gunpowder, I would have been sent to Leavenworth. So what's this guy doing?
So you agree it's a treasonous act and or espionage from your perspective?
Listen, the enemy is within.
Yes.
I am deeply concerned with our nation, and I pray for our troops and our emergency personnel, all those guys that are out there on the front line, our nurses, our doctors, all these people are doing such a wonderful job, and they are the real heroes. Not the people in D.C.
Mike, thanks so much, man, for calling in from Kentucky. Appreciate it. Joe in Texas has some strong thoughts on this. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, sir? I'm a Gulf War veteran and actually was a military intelligence analyst. And one of the things people got to realize, there's overt and covert intelligence. A lot of what intelligence, it's like a snapshot of picture. So things like morale of the enemy, how people are thinking. We embed CIA officers to work jobs in foreign countries just to get the flavor of the population on how they feel about things. What could have happened is he could have actually caused the war, because now I guarantee you this general, whoever he was talking to, filed a report and the head guy over there saw it. Everybody over there in the intelligence saw it. And what if that despot over there goes, well, this is our chance to take Taiwan. If nothing else, they're obviously messed up inside their highest ranks. Well, maybe we can get a hold of it before they can react. This could have caused a war. Not only is it treason, but it was intentional.
It also strikes me as tremendously arrogant, as if Milley alone, speaking to his counterpart, could be the one that stopped a war between the U.S. and China happening. Really, really think about that for a second. Oh, they're going to believe. He says, don't worry, the attack is not coming, and they think it's coming. They're going to believe. They're going to take his word for it. I mean, it's just interesting. I feel like there's a lot of, this guy's got a very high, by the way, great call, Joe. Thank you so much. This guy's got a lot of,
the internal dissension aspect here is big, though. I mean, think about it. For negotiations or anything else, it's like, hey, the American military doesn't even trust their commander-in-chief.
Oh, by the way, that would normally be very, like, that's the kind of information.
It's
high-level thinking, very classified.
Yes.
Like, knowing what, like, the Chinese People's Liberation Army leadership thinks,
yes,
what their red lines are.
Yes.
That actually can often, I mean, it depends on how the information is received, but that could be very sensitive information in classified channels, depending. And he's just, I mean, it's, Clay, it's just another one of these things where it's like we're living in crazy town here.
It's mind-blowing. Patrick in Missouri, what do you think?
Good job, guys. Milley's an embarrassment. The Armed Services Committee needs to call him to their office, to their chambers. My next phone call is to Josh Hawley and Mill Blunt. All Missouri veterans need to call those two and mandate that this happen.
We're not even talking, by the way, about his incredible failures in Afghanistan either, Buck. I mean, this guy has a litany of failures at this point. We're talking about potential treason that we didn't even know about beforehand.
Patrick, thank you so much for calling in. And Clay, you know, this is where we start to see people lose. I want to talk about faith in our institutions. We're always told that, you know, Trump was eroding faith in our institutions. Grotesque incompetence from people who think they're more important than they are, but don't want to be held accountable for what they do wrong at the top level of government agencies and institutions. That undermines faith in the government. That makes people think, maybe I shouldn't trust these people. I mean, I'm going to tell you, whenever this whole COVID madness ends, I'm never going to think of the CDC the same way. And I think for a lot of people, I used to work closely with FBI folks. I can't think of the FBI the same way after Mueller, the probe, and who's the lanky, unselfconscious weirdo,
Comey.
Comey, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to be
describe
able to
him that way, and I'm immediately.
I know,
like,
you got it. You're like, oh yeah, the unselfconscious weirdo who's like taking photos by the lake and thinking that he's, you know, some like great Roman orator and general because he's, you know, all of a sudden Orange Man bad. He was willing to worship at the throne of Orange Man until he wasn't going to be FBI director anymore. Then he was a hero for the Republic, like so many of the others. Fazl, we got somebody who's calling in who's from Afghanistan originally. Fazl, what's up in Virginia?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My name is Fazl Hakmal. I'm a U.S. Army war veteran.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I moved to the U.S. in 2006. I joined the Army. I went back to Afghanistan. I served in uniform. I supported the Commander of NATO Training Mission in Afghanistan. I supported the Director for Operations at ISAF. I also supported the Commander of Task Force Transparency. So I supported most of the general officers at the...
Fazl, we have 45 seconds, but keep going.
Roger that. And the reason why I'm calling today is that as the mainstream media is pivoting away from what's happening in Afghanistan, things are not really well in Afghanistan. People like me who still have family in Afghanistan, they're trying to get them out, but the system is somehow not supporting. I have tried to get my family out of Afghanistan. Most of my previous commanders have tried to get them out, but we have failed. I have spent hours trying to get a hold of people at the USCIS. They're not able to help. And I'm listening to the Secretary of State trying to portray as if things are really going well in Afghanistan. It's not true.
Yeah, and he's lying, and you know he's lying. Fazl, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry, we got to cut it short. We're out of show, though, today. We'll talk more about Afghanistan tomorrow. We'll talk to all of you tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.